Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Welcome back, folks, to Strength to Be Human. This is the Guest House Edition with my co-host, John Patrick Robbins. Thank you very much for joining us again, John.
Hey, Mark. Always good to be on the show.
We decidedly wanted to go in a more upbeat direction for a change. The last couple of weeks have been more serious topics, and I don't regret doing them. It's important to get that sort of stuff out there. You're not going to hear anybody else talk about some of those things, so it's important to have it out there. Especially if you got women that are being bothered and everything, someone needs to have a voice for them. So I'm glad we're able to do that. But this show is about the publishing world, and it's also going to be dealing with, I'm going to just read a poem from one of our, publications that are coming up over on Aerial Chart from John Smallshaw. So it's going to be definitely interesting and upbeat, and I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you. Always good to be, like I said, always good to be on the show, and especially good to be doing a little bit of a lighter subject, so.
Yeah, it really is.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Let's get this one rolling.
So you're going to be putting together your own, like, small press here shortly? Is that the case?
Yeah, just something I've wanted to do. I mean, being inspired by other people I've seen who definitely do this very well. I don't know I can do that that fantastic, but I'm going to give it a go. And yeah, I'm going to be putting together my own little press, better known as a Whiskey City Press, and going to have just a select group of people that we're going to run, and it's just something I've wanted to do for a long time, and finally getting the, you know, things together that we will be running one this month, as a matter of fact, better known, and I know the writer pretty well because it's me, so we will be running I'm going to have the debut book coming out pretty shortly. I'm not going to give a title away because it's going to be completely surprised, but it will be coming out shortly, and I'm really thrilled about that.
Oh, that sounds great. Are you going to be doing individual titles from a couple of authors you picked, or is this like a combination project?
It'll be just individual titles that we have. Nothing over the top, nothing really crazy, just a select group of us that we want to do this for a while, so yeah, that's the main focus with Whiskey City Press, a really kind of tailored, very small, kind of like invite only thing that we want to do, and it's going to be really interesting. I think people are really going to dig it. At least I hope they do.
Print or just print, or how are you going to do that?
It's from right now, we're just going to probably go just print right now.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of fine folks I know, especially in the room, who definitely have ebooks mastered down. I'm lucky I have anything mastered down. So
it's a big job no matter what you do.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of I'm learning how much of a job it is, but it's something I've always wanted to do, so I'm really, really looking forward to this. And yeah, it's a Whiskey City Press, and we will be coming out very shortly. We have had to push the dates back, but it's like anything. You want to get it done right, and you want to take your time and make sure it's done right the first time, and I have to keep doing things over and over. But, yeah, it's going to be a select group of us. So, yeah.
All right, well, I'm definitely looking forward to see what you're going to be doing on that. I know it's another big step in a different direction. Only advice I can give you, because I do something of a similar nature, but just for ebooks, is you just do your best over the course of the year to just do a couple of titles. You don't, I mean, it's possible for you to do many titles, but the problem is it is a lot of work, and oftentimes you have to prepare the author for the expectations of what they're going to face versus what they think they're going to face. Now, don't get me wrong. If somebody winds up coming up with some extraordinary marketing angle and does better than most, that's great. But, you know, in the case of these sort of books, they have to do a lot of their own marketing. And, you know, they also have to be, this is something I'm learning too, they got to be somebody that has some self-control on the social media, because you can't publish somebody that, you know, sounds great in the book, and then on the social media they're bashing the, you know, the publishing world, or they're out there talking crazy stuff, and because, you know, people are going to see that and like, why would I buy his book? This guy just said that, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not very helpful. So you have to kind of manage it in many different ways, and it all comes down to trying to get the right person for the project. It doesn't mean the best writer or the greatest writer or the most interesting writer. The truth of the matter is it's about getting somebody that's creative that's also mature.
Yeah, that is true. Definitely you see that in other places. And, you know, luckily, the group that I have set that, of course, I'm not revealing who's who. All going to be a surprise. And later on down the road, definitely I'll mention them. But mine will be coming out first. We've all kind of done this, all at least had titles out, and kind of understand the way, you know, a little bit of self-control, and so that's the thing. It does help and have that experience, and we're just a very small group that's only going to concentrate on a very few titles, but you know, we hope to put out some really good ones at least, you know, and I know we will.
I think that's gonna be great. That's only my advice, because I literally put together like a mini expectations last kind of a contract, you know, about the things that we were doing, what we were expecting. And it never included that, because it just never occurred to me that somebody can go out there and literally self-sabotage themselves by talking stupid. Because, you know, that social media stuff, it lasts for a while. And sometimes your own ads or your own, you know, marketing efforts for your book is out there as well. So when it's going to intermingle, you know, one minute you're saying, buy my great book, and then the next minute, you know, they're reading you talk about how you want to beat a dog to death with a stick or something. It's not going to be working out too well. You know, so I think in the future I might have to actually add that as a requirement. I mean, I don't want to restrict anybody's speech, don't get me wrong, but you can't go around talking stupid about something and expect I'm going to work behind the scenes to, you know, to put your book out. So you got to have some common sense. You got to have some, you know, realistic expectation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the truth. And, luckily this I've seen that. I've seen the pitfalls of, you know, other things, and so yeah, this is the group of people that we definitely kind of know. I don't have to have that, and that's why this is not going to be some big press where we're running open calls for submissions, and you know, not anybody who's at mine, we all know each other. We've all done this before, so it makes it a lot easier. And that's nothing wrong with any first time authors. It's not a slant against anybody. It's just better for me, because I mean, I am new to this, so it's
there's no perfect exciting formula, you know. There really isn't, because I got a small press. It's just ebook, and even after I made it just invite only, and even after I made it that I only really want to put out authors that already have enough material out there, which means that they're not brand new. They have 50, 100, 200 poems out there, a lot of credits, and they just never really got a chance to get a book done. Even after all of that, I mean, I still encountered a couple issues now and then. So it's not a perfect formula. But I do know that if you make it like a regular press where you open invite stuff, you literally get like 300 people like in 2 weeks. And even if you love them all, you can't do them all, you know?
No. It's another thing, but I that would be one thing that, you know, with running a journal and all those things, I'm like, no, I really didn't want to have to sit there and go through a ton of great submissions and then have to decide. It's like, no, I kind of had a set thing of we have a vision of what we want to do. We're kind of all on board. That does help, you know, because we all kind of understand all the promotional part that you have to go with this. It's not definitely not new to any of us. So that to me really does help right off the bat. So yeah, I'm just hoping to, and of course, working with you, I've had great experience. I've learned a lot, and I just, you know, just really want to try this. So I think it'll be a good, positive experience, and thus far it has been. But it's been, of course, a lot of work. Like anything, it's work, and it's definitely a lot of work. But it's coming along, and I'm really happy with the way everything's coming along.
Well, that's great. You might have some more advantages than I did because I didn't know as much until later on, and you know a lot more now. Also, you have a lot more experience with a lot of the writers that you want to bring on board. And in my case, I only had experience with like about a couple of them, and some I didn't. So that's where you take a chance. I'm still very happy with the experience, you know. But you wish they didn't have a couple knuckleheads that kind of mess it up a bit too. But it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
You just try to do your best and not have it happen again, because I want to do a couple more, you know, titles in 2019, you know. I think we're working on one with you, actually, as well, you know. But I want to do a few others, too. So hopefully that'll be the case, and I'm definitely happy to do so. But that's what I normally do. I do a couple a year, and then I, you know, put it to the side and go back to, you know, the other stuff I'm doing. This way I'm still, you know, making some contributions out there, but I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to break some printing record or something or some publishing record.
Yeah.
There's not really a need for that. There's plenty of other places and people out there. And quite frankly, I'm only doing the ebook, so which means is that besides the fact that I'm trying to get people who are already experienced and people that already have a lot of material and who haven't had much chances, I mean, we're dealing with this ebook, and you got some writers that don't even want to handle that. We'll deal with it. It's a little extra work, and you know, someone's just not interested in it. So it kind of helps me in one way, and another way it doesn't. But, you know, at least it gives me my little, you know, my little side of the sidewalk I can, you know, I could work on.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, what you do, you're great at it. So at least in my opinion, because I've had nothing but a great experience at SOMA. So, I mean, and very happy to be there. And, of course, working on another project that I really hope people dig, and it's, yeah, that's another thing, is kind of having that your own kind of little, you know, niche in the way it works. And, that's, you know, that's all I really wanted to do, was have something that was a little thing that I could do that, you know, I just have no desire to go out there, as you said, and try to set a record, because even on my best day, it's kind of chaotic. So,
no,
yeah.
If this is all a person was doing, you know, that's one thing, but it's not, because what a lot of people don't know is, I know in my particular case, there's no charges involved at all. So I take everything on myself, and we're different, that we don't even take money from the author. So basically, any money that's made is split between the distributor who puts the book out, and the platforms that, you know, sell the books, and then whatever is left over goes to the author. So we don't even take a dime in any direction at all. So I couldn't do that if I was doing it all the time on a regular basis without having to take money. Then it would have to run it almost like a business, and that's another thing I didn't want to do. I didn't want to go around, you know, doing that, because the problem is that no matter what kind of standards you have, in the end, you know, you have to be looking at the dollars, which means that one way or the other, you're going to be signing people that, you know, they might not be ready for prime time, or they might be a pain in the butt. And you're just going to, tolerate all that for money? No. So I like the way I have it. This way I don't have to worry about that kind of nonsense. People can stay, or they can go, or I can choose them or not choose them. But, you know, there's no other outside forces. It's just the quality of the material and the maturity of the author. You know, if they want to do something with me, that's great. If not, no harm done.
Yeah, that's the way that Whiskey City is running. This is not a this is definitely not some kind of a scheme or anything like that. You know, at least I would hope I don't scheme myself. But this is you know, completely. It's more of a thing that we're doing, that because we just, it's, you know, a passion for each project that we really believe in, and just, it's just something that us as friends had wanted to do, and I'm really happy with. So it's, you know, that's why I said it's not going to be, and not to put off people, it's nothing against anybody. I just have no real desire to go and start like a big press where you're having to just go read through submissions and say that's a job itself, going through all these submissions. And no, so it's just a invite only thing, and we can dedicate a lot of time to each project, and you know, a lot of us are definitely helping each other out on that. So it's, you know, that's, it's a completely friend thing. It's not a has nothing to do with trying to be some big press and everything or something. We're not. So, and it's just a small, very small group, only four of us technically.
Well, that's so cool. I think it'll be an interesting project to watch unfold and go forward.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely happy to see that. It's always nice to hear that something new is going out there, especially since I'm familiar with a lot of material of you guys. So I know you guys are going to definitely make it successful. And God knows there's always another voice that could be out there, because, you know, you got some voices out there that they shouldn't be out there, you know? act a fool and, you know, think they can drive drunk and everything's going to be fine. But no, there's casualties with that kind of crap. So I'm glad that we got another professional out there doing the right thing, because, you know, there's plenty of people out there that are not.
Yeah, no, there's some – we know the examples. We've went through all of them. It's weird to put professional and me together in the same room, but that's no, it's joking.
Hey,
there.
We all got to grow up and do something more. So that's what it is.
There you go. It's I'm really excited about it, and I'll be thrilled to mention that when my project comes up. When it'll be coming out, it'll be coming out soon. It's been probably a little bit delayed, but we've had a lot of things going on, some we didn't want to definitely deal with, but all in all, it's really been a great experience, and the group of guys, because you know the guys that are going to be on this, so it's it's really going. I'm really just looking forward to it, and so it is cool to have it out there.
Well, I always tell people, because you know I get questions now and then about it. Well, how do you do this without making any money? And I'm like, well, I can't speak for the people who do print, because I don't know enough about that. But I know in terms of when I just do the ebook, it's not terribly expensive. So that's the reason why I can do it, because the cost of it is fixed, which means is that I got my own converter person. I pay them on a flat rate for the entire year. So whether I give them one project or 20 projects, it's the same thing. It's already been paid. You know, I do my own art. I'm not the best at it, but the covers look decent enough to sell some books. So we don't have to worry about any of that nonsense. You know, we do our own proofreading, so we don't have to worry about any of those fraud people out there charging all kinds of stupid money. You know, so, and it's just a question of, I put a few ads out for people, and people do the rest themselves. They have to market things themselves, because that's the world right now. You can't go out there and expect everybody's going to do anything for you, because if you haven't learned already, then you're going to have a very rude awakening. So we can do this because the costs are already fixed. When I wrote that whole little like semi-contract for the writers, I mentioned the fact that this is a lot like picking up somebody and dropping them off at a location, because you were going there anyway. I mean, if I'm already spending my gas money to go there, having another two or three people on board don't make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we have like six or seven people on board. So, I mean, it's very easy to do. I don't need no 10 or 20% back. It's not enough money for me to laugh at. So why not just let the authors keep whatever they make? So it's not a problem with that.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy with that. It's a good thing. And you don't have to run it as a business or a profit motive. So I'm able to do that. I wouldn't be able to do the same thing as a print, because I got too many people on board. That'd be too much of a headache. It's a much harder thing to do. But the ebook has its own little place. It also has a lot of it has a lot of room, and it has a lot of has a lot of space for creative things that you can't normally do in a print publication. Like it's hard, especially if you're doing a poetry book, and you need to keep it around like 48 pages. And if you want to add an introduction, or if you want to add an interview in the back, or if you want to add anything, even if it's just a page about the author. Every time you do something like that, you're taking away from the fundamental amount of material that you wanted to add, which means that you went from now 48 poems to maybe like 40, because you have to fix the amount of material in the book in order to be able to get the cost down enough to where if the book is sold, people can get their money back and maybe make a couple of dollars in the process. The ebook is completely different. You know, we mostly sell books at $2.99, so I could put in 50 pages there, or I could put 105. There's zero difference to the price or to the book. So you can put all kinds of things in there, artwork, all kinds of things that you normally couldn't put in a print book because it's just much more expensive and difficult to do. So that's why I like it, because it has more room to do more interesting things. You know, it's just a lot more work to promote it and to market it. So that's it. It has the pros and cons, and those are pretty much it in a nutshell.
Yeah, you have a lot of freedom with the ebooks. I'm also very fortunate to know a lot of people, of course, from running the journals, the mags, mine in particular. I've met a lot of people that really already know how this, all the print stuff is done, and who have been really helpful. And once again, you know, contrary to some opinions, I definitely love the small press, and I'm fortunate enough to know a lot of really good people out there. So it does help, you know, and they're all helping one another as well. And it really does help when you already kind of know people that, and they may know how this works. It's like, because I am definitely no genius, but luckily, you know, I can ask people that have been doing this for quite a long time now. Yeah. And they're willing to help, you know, and because I mean, I know quite a few people who run these things, and definitely like my good friend Todd Cirillo, who runs 6 Foot Swells, a little plug for him. You know, they've also got a new website out now, by the way, and I know I've advertised that, and he does this great. He knows how all this runs, and it's good to have this kind of people that you can go to and ask, and it really does. It does help, and it's a good community. There's a lot of good people out there that can help you with all these kind of things. They're more than willing to help you, even with proof, just little things. You'd be surprised how many people really do help one another, and that's really awesome.
And I'm glad we get a chance to talk about that, because I don't want to spend lots and lots of time just talking about all the people out there trying to scam you, like editors and and worthless presses that do nothing but, you know, charge you $26 for something that, you know, I wouldn't have the bird, you know, do anything on. So
yeah,
it's good to talk about some of the good things that are out there, because there are a lot of people out there that they deserve respect and they deserve a place that's going to be honest and give them a good bargain for their money, and they also deserve to hear some good art. Because remember, a lot of what we're doing is not just about promoting this or making that, but also it's about you know, creating something that's unique in the art community and allowing the art community to sort of, like, you know, center and focus itself on something that's worthy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a ton of great press. I could just name off left and right that there is definitely no scam. And like one that I just mentioned, that they're completely upfront, honest, and they really work. They really, you know, bust themselves just working at things and putting together stellar products and just really great people. So, and there's a lot of them out there, and I probably, so many I should mention, and probably so many I can't even name that are just awesome that I can think of that are out there just really doing a great job. So,
well, I'm excited you're joining the fold. Hopefully you just try to manage it the best you can, because in your case, you have a far deeper relationship with the writers than I had, but it doesn't mean that it's still not a lot of work, and it's still not there's still not a message about managing people's expectations, even if you know them well, because you know you don't want them to, you know, think they're going to be hanging out with Tom Cruise tomorrow or something either. See, people have to they got to be realistic.
Yeah. No. I think that's the lucky part is. Yeah, at least with me starting from where I have these people, we all kind of know the way things work. So if I had to kind of go through it with people with some unrealistic expectations, it would be one thing. We just really want to really get things done to completely our total vision. We're lucky enough that we've got this platform to do it. And I thought, well, why not try? You know, there's nothing beats a fail like a try. So, I mean, I don't see how I can do any worse than other and, than some other examples we've seen. And I mean, why not, you know, and that's a thing. So,
I agree with you. You definitely can't do worse than some of the junk we've already seen. No doubt about that. But then, you know, I can get blind people from friggin' France to probably do something better than these guys are doing. So you should have no problem going shooting up from there. But really, really, it's just about making sure. To me, the two things that I learned the most is making sure that you've managed the expectations of the people you're bringing on board, and you're staying in contact with them, and whatever you're doing, you're very clear. And also making sure that you're not biting off so much, too much that you can't chew yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Because just like me in many ways now, you're going to be also having your own journal. I know in your case, you have three of them. I only have one. But then you also co-host in the show, and you have a full-time job. And then I think you're doing that whole vocal event thing that you do as well. And that's all, you know, it all adds up after a while. And then you still have to do your own writing and your own stuff. And then you have your own new project that's coming out here in another month or so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been, I have to admit it's been a heck of a thing to try to get all this done. I can't say it's not a lot of pressure, but I just, you know, I love the page and I love doing this. So it just kind of all fell together. It's intimidating when you stand back, but then, you know, if you just keep working, I think you don't even realize. Like now, I have to admit, you know, sitting back, I'm like, man, it's a lot of stuff that I kind of took on all at once. But, you know, I do the best I can. And
you just have to manage it with the other things. That's all. I'm perfectly capable of producing a lot more books than I do in my publishing house. Mm-hmm. I just choose not to do it because every time you do that, it's just another project you got to manage for a little while, keep in contact with the person. Mm-hmm. You know, the process itself can take, you know, 3 to 6 weeks just to get the thing out into the marketplace, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person still wants contact and what I do this and that, whatever. It's a lot of hand holding, and it gets to be a little monotonous. Yeah. That's why you only want to do a couple and get it over with and then get on to some other things, because it's a lot more work than people realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's a ton of work, but I definitely don't shy away from it. But yeah, I have to admit that, like anything, you do get a little tired, and especially kind of working on, it's like I was working on like two books at once, but it just happened. I'm lucky enough that I always have like a big, that's another thing, so I was having a big catalog kind of pull from. I'm always working, always writing, so I'm lucky on that, you know, because if I didn't, I would be spread thin if I'm literally having to write out each one and then put it in somewhere. And like, no, I had a good kind of already cohesive vision of both are completely different and fun books and projects. And so, yeah, I'm lucky on that aspect. But it's been a grind.
It has. And I like it, though, because the truth is that when we get into these ventures beyond our own writing, meaning a journal or, you know, this type of show, a broadcast show, or even a publishing company, we're really adding something more to the community than just our voice or just our work. So we're helping the artistic community be a little bit bigger, be a little bit better. And it also lets us to put our own little stamp on things, too. This is how we see things. This is our vision, you know, versus something else that's out there. So that's the biggest part I like about it too, is that we were actually able to make a dent in all of that. And and that's to me the big guiding point. You help some people, you make a dent, and you get to move on, and that's it. I mean, but I know I'm at my max point. I don't think I could do any more, you know.
No. You wouldn't. No. It's amazing and how much stuff you get done, and I know the stuff that I put together, it seems like I'm always kind of adding on to it, but that's just kind of the way I work, as anybody knows. And Yeah, it's not like I'm trying to see how many things I can get done at once. It's just, when an opportunity comes up to do something that's fun and unique and helping people or whatever, I'm going to take it and do it. So that's just me personally. I just always seem to be doing multiple things at once, but I guess I'm just, pretty good at multitasking.
No, I hear you. But I'm glad I'm hitting my ceiling because I'm pretty much done with doing any more. That's enough. It really is. That's enough. So I'm glad that's all I can do. I even got it offered another show on top of this one. First they want me to move to another network, and then they said, "Well, we'll just give you your own show on a different topic." I'm like, "Dude, I'm not interested in that." I go, "I already have all the freedom. I want to do what I want here. So what am I going to do? Do a different show under your rules and to double my work for what?" No, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, you've got, and especially multiple platform things you're doing, and you can add one more. There you go.
Yeah, it wasn't worth even considering. Because it wouldn't be an art show. It'd be something else. You know? But I'm like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it'd be like, paranormal or veterans or something that I could possibly have an interest in and have some real, talking points on. But I think those subjects are important, actually, and I like them, but I just don't have any more time for that. And I don't really want to. The two things I don't want to do is I don't want to start over again, because this is a lot of work and it's a lot to build the audience and keep people going and all that. It's a lot of work. I mean, I'm sort of settling down now into the fourth month where I'm starting to feel it's moving along nicely, but I mean, it's just breakneck speed to do all that and get all this content out there and everything else and answer people's questions and just that and whatever. I don't want to start from zero someplace else. I don't care if it's a new topic or not. Not to mention that I won't have the kind of freedom that I have yet. So I got to do something brand new, whole another topic, start everything all over again for what? I know some people already. They have two and three different shows. But see, that's okay for them and actually makes sense for them because they don't have a journal. They don't have a book writing career. That's all they do is broadcasting. So if this is all you do, maybe you should have two and three shows.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. It makes perfect sense to me. But when you already have all this other stuff, no, I don't want any more. That's enough. Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah, people don't get that. If all you do is broadcasting, then yeah, and it's a lot. That's a ton of work in itself. If you're going to be really good at broadcasting or podcasting, you're going to have to produce a lot of material. You're always having to work. And another thing is setting things up, getting people kind of coordinated. Once, as you know, is a lot of fun, a challenge within itself.
It is.
And because I have done the podcasting before, so it's always having to have material. And when you're doing that on top of just like you're doing your when you're running a journal and of course you well and being a publisher, that's just an insane amount of work. It really is. But you definitely do it well, Paul. So, you do it really well. So, but I don't think you need to go ahead and start another.
No, I'm not going to, believe me. I don't have any more in me to do any of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Plus, I like what we're doing because we have our own niche. There isn't anybody out there competing with us at all. You start doing a paranormal show. I don't care if it's freaky spirits or weirdo Bigfoots or aliens coming down. There's like 100 shows like that out there. And some of those guys can actually say they've done this. I've done some spirit hunting, or I went out in the woods and checked out for Bigfoot, or I went to Area 51, and they could say something practical. I have a lot of thoughts and theories on that stuff, but I haven't done any of going out there to do any of that stuff, so I'm not really going to be able to bring something super entertaining to it, really, in that regard. And the veteran stuff, it has its own audience, and I think it would be interesting to do, but it's just a lot of work for it. I don't know what I would get back from it at all. I mean, at least in this, my heart's in it, and that the other stuff, it'd just be, I think it's important to do, but, there's not really a lot of veteran shows out there either, but There's a point where you got to draw a line about where you can do well at. And so what I got, I'm doing well at, and I just keep to it, and that's that. And there's no use to try to add anything more or do something slightly different. There's just no point. Plus, I like the show because I can do all these different variations. You know what I mean? We got the standalone thing, so you could talk about depression or stress or confidence or whatever on a show, just me. Yeah. Or I could do the co-hosting show with you where we talk about various different artistic topics of the, you know, the community. Mm-hmm. You know, I got the interview show where you just one-on-one with somebody and they're talking about all this stuff. You know, I'm now doing that whole classic series where I'm grabbing out an author from the past and talking a little bit about their life, and that'll be fun to do. You know, I'm gonna be doing Aldous Huxley next here for April, but I could do different versions of the show and still stay fresh and interesting. And I mean, how many really different versions can you do of a paranormal show? There's really not anything. It's just the same show, you know. And plus, you eventually they're gonna want you to do some call-in thing, which means I got to reconfigure everything in my house to a switchboard and a number. And I don't want any of that crap. I really don't. I mean, I like talking to the artistic community, but I already do that. I do that with the publishing house. I do that with the journal. I do that with texting and email all day damn long. You know, I mean, not to mention the comments I get on the show. I don't need to have people calling in. Hey, man, I like the show, and maybe you could talk about, you know, Scooby-Doo next week, you know. I don't need I don't really need to hear that. They could just text that or email it to me. It's not necessary to go that far, you know. I'm not really that tech-savvy, so I only could do so much myself before I'm going to get, you know, nauseated intellectually. So that's the perfect thing about the show. I have the right equipment for it and the right network and, you know, good formula about what I'm doing and make it diverse.
Yeah.
That's it. I can't do that anywhere else. There's nowhere else I could do that. And there's no other topics out there I could do that with. So this was a good thing about the show. And who knows? I might even come up with a couple other different versions of the show as I go along.
Yeah.
But right now, you know, I got like four different kinds and that works out.
Yeah, well, I think you're selling yourself short there, boss. I would love to see you go out in the field and go hunt for Bigfoot, knowing you the way you are. And I think that would be a very interesting subject.
Yeah, I don't know how far that's going to go. Hey, Bigfoot, come out. Don't make me kick your ass. I know you're 9 foot tall, but I don't care. You know, you only could do so many episodes like that.
You know? Yeah, I think that would be very unique.
Go to the Great Lakes. Great Lake Monster, come out. Don't make me hurt you. I know you're real. I know it's not just these people drinking beer. You got to be real.
That would be great. It'd be classic, believe it or not. That would be a great episode. I know I'd tune in.
it'd probably be more comedy and messing up than anything else, so. I don't think I could do that. But I've guested shows like that before, and I really have a lot of fun doing that. But I couldn't see myself doing that whole damn show like that. That's just oh my god, that's just something else. You know, I went on with this guy. He does the Alien Files. He's the he's the host of that, and he has his own show, Caravan to Midnight. He's really cool. But if you ever watch a listing of this guy, I mean, he has like 20,000 different topics in 1 week, you know?
He really does.
So much stuff that he does and everything. And I was on there for 2 hours, and I swear to God, we must have covered like at least 10 different topics. I mean, it was a lot of fun, and don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it a lot. But once I do something like that, I'm good for a few months. I don't need to do that again, so. You know, that's what I like about it. It has its place. I go out there, but, I wouldn't want to do it. I don't even think I could do it as good as that guy does. He does a great job.
Yeah.
And he has a cool voice, too. You know, I don't have a cool voice.
Yeah.
I'm just a regular dude out here, you know, doing his thing.
Yeah, that's a lot of content. Like you said, there's a lot of people who do that. And another thing is, when you have a lot of people who are kind of covering that subject and already doing it, very well, then that's also a lot of pressure to go out and do something, because you have to make it unique. Because then again, why are people, you know, gonna tune in if it's not unique? If it's just something that there's already a lot of content, you're competing with a big market.
Yeah, so you actually feel a lot more stress and a lot more having to go uphill for what?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have anything to prove in that sort of thing. And why not just say what I'm doing? I mean, in a way, it's become like a pioneering kind of effort, because we put a show doing topics that zero people are talking about. There's a couple of art shows out there. They're not talking about any of this. They're not talking about the indie writers. They're not talking about the future of the press. They're not talking about books, unless it's some books from some big publisher that everybody heard of. God knows they're not talking about sexual harassment or depression or the art as a therapy or any of the serious topics that we talk about that people have a real, you know, inquisitive nature about. They're not. So, I mean, we're already doing things that nobody else is doing. And I can't see other people going to do the same thing. I really don't. So I think we could be able to keep staying in our own unique corner and just kind of grow it from there. So why not just do that? And that's why I feel, you know, I created something different and new. I mean, there's no reason to not stick with it.
Yeah, no, it is unique. And you've covered your rate with your show. You're getting so many different kind of things from interviews to your classic series, which are really the episode on Poe, and you're doing a lot of stuff, and of course this show is one of my absolute favorites, so because I get to be on it. So
that's really the point there, because sometimes these folks are just not really, they're not being creative enough. I mean, because normally they would have said, oh no, don't do a show with John inside your show, just have your own damn show. We're together doing it. I'm like, what would the hell be the point of that? I mean, we honestly think that me and you can do 8 or 10 shows a month trying to figure out every single new topic in the arts before it's going to get boring. It's good to have it stretched out as it is, because everything we do is fresh and interesting then.
So it makes
sense to keep it inside here, because you keep it limited and controlled and you make it interesting and unique. But if you start running this on the road, I mean, really, I mean, we'd be doing the same topics every like 3 months or something, if we're lucky to get that far.
Yeah, you have sympathies working with me. Organizing me is kind of like organizing a train wreck. It's like,
we've been fortunate to keep it under control, having 2 shows a month, and, you know, people have been responding to it well. I mean, Wednesday will be the 30th episode that I released, you know, and basically, me and you, we've done about 4 or 5 of these things already, and they're all already lined up in the top 10 of all the show in terms of listenership. So they're doing exactly what I thought they would do. People would listen to them more than other shows at times, because they might have a different audience. So it worked out just like I expected. So without that, then, I mean, that's less people listening to the show as a whole. So having it branching off makes a lot of sense for people.
Yeah, well, and the thing you've got, like I said, you have so much content, and you're always knowing, and I know you, I know how hard you work. You're always working on putting out more content, and you're always working at this stuff. It's, you know, I've done this stuff, but I've not done it to where I am just, moving like you are. You are, you've got it rolling. You're always recording. You've always got stuff coming out and stuff you're working on. So it's,
Well, you don't know what's gonna be in the future, because you know, I'm signed to do 8 of these episodes a month, so interviewing people is extremely difficult, because interviewing people is easy. It's just all the scheduling behind it. It's extremely rough. I mean, we have a bunch of people that we put out in March. In fact, so many that I added a Friday to my schedule. I normally don't do more than 8 episodes, but in March you'll notice that I did 11 episodes instead of 8. I added 3 Fridays into it, just to get some of the interviews in there as well, and of course doing in the Poe episode as well. So we added a lot of shows to that, but all those shows that have been premiered in March, they were all recorded in February. And because they were recorded in February don't mean a whole lot, because that means I was reaching out to people in January. So if you look at the turnover of between that latter January to March, I mean, it's rough. I mean, sometimes it could be 6 to 8 weeks for somebody that has their show on. I literally have to email people, hey, don't forget your show's coming up, because it's been so long, you know?
Yeah.
But that's because of the time zones and people's work schedules and everything else. I mean, I'll probably in April, I'm lucky if I have 1 or 2 maybe that's going to be done.
Yeah. No, it's.
I have plenty of shows of that. That's the reason why I have the diversity of content. Because the truth of the matter is that I can't sign up with somebody and guarantee him something, and then I'm telling them, yeah, man, I was only able to get 3 people interviewed this month. They don't want to hear that. They were like, you're supposed to be on 8 times. So having your show with me and having the classic thing and having some of just the standalone episodes, that easily fills in everything. It gives me the control to make sure that my word is being kept. You know, plus those things are necessary anyway, because I don't know if you realize this or not, but when somebody comes on the show to interview, they're not there to talk about depression or artist therapy or stress or whatever. I mean, those elements might come out now and then in the interview, but as a whole show about it, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. So not only does it fill a gap in the calendar, but it's a true necessity, because you're not going to get all that stuff out of an interview. People are interviewing primarily to get their own word out there, to get their own projects out there, and that's what they should be doing, and I'm okay with that. So you can't expect that one interview to cover all the stuff you want to do, you know?
Yeah, no. Yeah, but you've got it down to a science. I mean, I've done, mine were always kind of like a train wreck at best, but it's a completely different, you know, thing. But the way you're doing it, especially with the network, you're always delivering, you're always got the content rolling in. And it does take a lot of work. That's why anybody who is interested in these things should know that you really do. You're always having to think about content. It's not, you don't just get together and do this haphazardly. You have to put some dedication.
You have to. But the good thing is you can tell the way things work, how things are going to work out. I knew already going into March that I was starting to not doing any pre-interviews anymore, and having less and less people to grab and talk to or schedule, because it got a little rougher. So I already knew that, you know, I'm only going to have a couple in April. So which means that all I had to do in March then is make sure I already had stuff recorded already, you know, for the standalone stuff. You know, I mean, we got this one right here. This will be for early April showing, this guest house episode we're doing right now. But, you know, we're doing it, you know, we're recording in the later part of March, and I already did 4 episodes already of the standalone stuff, so I already got that. So basically, whatever I have now and what we've done today, I mean, I already have almost all April done. I got 3 slots left. Hopefully, I'll be able to fill in a couple of interviews there. I'm doing a couple of shows early in April that I'm going to record with a couple of people, and hopefully, I can just fit those in April. Otherwise, it goes into May. But that's just, you have to have stuff, you know, ahead of schedule done. Yeah. You know, because you know you also. On this kind of show, it's different than any kind of print or publisher or anything like that, is that, you know, it has that live element. And, you know, if you don't have enough of those interview shows, you have to make sure you have enough of these other shows. But also, if you got some time available and you got something you want to talk about, just get it cut and done with. It's in your computer. It's ready to go. Because you don't know when you're going to have a schedule problem with yourself personally. Maybe you got to go do something and you don't have time to record for a couple days. You know, I mean, I'm going into my 4th month. You know, I've already lost my voice twice in 4 months. But and I'm pissed off about it, because it's like, oh, but then I'm also relieved that, okay, I'm not going to be able to really speak for a couple of days and record anything. But I already have 4, 5, 6 shows already in the can. So I'm cool. Yeah. As long as you already got something in there, when something happens to you, you're not like, oh, Lord, I got to fill this in. I got to get this done. And hope the hell they can hear me well and have a good day. And, you know, because I'm the kind of person, if I had to record with a crappy voice, I'd do the best I can. But I'd rather not to do that. I'd rather not do that if I could help it. I'd really rather not.
No. That's another setback that people, they probably, they don't get, is like anything, you know, you're going to be, especially with this time of year and season, so your vocal cords they're going to get affected. You're going to have all sorts of things pop up. Not everything is, you know, nothing is certain in life. So you're going to get, you know, if you have any kind of sinus problems and things like that, it's,
it's all the pollen's coming out and the kids are getting sick and blah, blah, blah. And all that stuff. You know, as we're going into spring, it feels like it's a winter illness or something, but you know, I've been fortunate that it hasn't been any too severe, and I'm also fortunate that, you know, the time I do have, it's sort of like the squirrel gathering the nuts for the winter. it's the same thing with this type of a show. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got a good week where you guys have a bunch of time slots in. I mean, basically, as much as I have to schedule people to get these shows done, I got to schedule myself too. Hey, I got some time over here. Mm-hmm. Let's go sit down and do this. Boom. Knock another one out. You know? So that's what you got to do. Because if you don't do that, you're not going to have anything saved for when there is a problem. So fortunately, I'm almost done with April already. And it's not even the end of March yet. So literally pretty soon I'll be recording for May.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Excellent.
Yeah, but I'm not going to do any more of the Friday things. I wanted to give it a try and test it out because I had so much stuff off. You know, and also I had so many people I was able to interview that, you know, a lot of them, they wanted to try to hear their shows, you know, while they, you know, their kids were still in high school, you know. So I'm like, yeah, let me just get them out there for them. But I'm not normally going to do that because the problem with the Friday show, which I always knew, that's why I pick Monday and Wednesday generally for how the shows to get released, is that people don't listen to these things on Friday. Their week is done. They're tired. They want to do something else, go out, watch a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have a drink, whatever. They're not doing this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing is knowing when to put that out there and when people are going to listen to it. There's just so many things that go into this. And that's what probably, I guess, well, I think a lot of people understand, but if you don't do these things, then you don't really probably get is knowing it, everything is timing and scheduling. And it's just, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
So. I'm happy with it though. It's going along well. We're getting some great comments and good feedback and it's continued to grow in terms of the audience and even some of the countries now. We're at 35 countries now that are listening. They have active listeners that, you know, that can listen in English. So that's pretty exciting. And I'm expecting, you know, a few more to come on board over here as much as possible. I try to get that word out there and we'll see what happens with that. So you can't be more excited than that. Did we have, I think we had another topic we wanted to do beyond publishing, didn't we?
Yeah. And that shows you how airtight my memory is, but I know that I wanted to mention kind of, and I hope I'm not getting this wrong, but you know, this does happen. Getting into, you know, because one thing I know I do, I know you've done, and is really what goes into being like a good critic, you know, we both do, we do reviews, and quite a few, actually, and I know I do, and kind of, you know, that's something I definitely want to go into is, you know, what it does take to be a good critic and what separates, you know, a critic from what I would consider a troll nowadays. That's very popular.
Yeah. Well, definitely, we could definitely talk about that. Now, I said we're going to be an upbeat show today, and that's the truth. But we do have to mention one little negative thing about this, and then the rest of it is kind of positive, okay? This is just like a vanity situation, folks. I know book reviews are important, and they really are, especially as somebody that does the ebook publishing. I mean, the reviews make a big difference whether we sell a lot of ebooks or not. But you can't pay somebody to do this. Not only is that fraudulent and not very artistic, but you have to understand places like Amazon, if they find out or they even suspect, your whole book is gone. They don't have to carry your book. Just because you publish something doesn't mean they have to carry it. And they've been scouring the last year, removing fake recommendations for products. This is products that's making them a lot of money, and they're still removing recommendations because those were paid. Book reviews, all of that sort of thing. So you're going to see some people now and then on Facebook that say, yo, man, for $5, you can get a review, send me the book, and blah, blah, blah. Ignore that nonsense and don't do any of that. Because if you get caught, the biggest thing that's going to happen here is your book's going to get removed, okay? And if I'm your publisher and I just find out that out of the six major platforms that I have to offer this book, the biggest one of them all, Amazon, has not been knocked off, then what am I supposed to do? Where's all my work going to? You know? Because I don't have a control over that. I'm certainly not going to get you a fake review. but I can't control if you don't get it or not. So it's another thing that when I go forward with some of the new writers for the 2019, I literally have to add that now in my agreement. Don't be doing crazy stuff with social media and acting foolish. And please don't try to hire somebody to do this nonsense, because it affects everybody involved, particularly me. I can't do all this work, and then 2 weeks later, Amazon's telling me you can't produce here anymore with this book. You know, and, I wouldn't want that happening, because it happened a couple of times. They could ban my damn press. Who the hell would want that?
Yeah.
So that's something you got to keep in mind, Dot. Now, everything else isn't all that difficult or all that negative, okay? Ultimately, a publisher, especially the ebook publisher, can get you some of these free review copies that you could pass along to friends and relatives. They could write a review on that and then add that to the site. Mm-hmm. That's what really helps people to see a book. I'm not sure about the print option, how that works, because I would suspect that that comes right out of your pocket. And when you do that, you got to go mail it to somebody. I mean, you probably have to be 300% sure that they're going to do something about this book. Otherwise, that's literally money out the window. At least with the ebooks, I'm sending them a bunch of free copies. It doesn't cost me anything. Doesn't cost anybody anything.
Yeah.
If I send it to 20 people and I get like 6 reviews, I'm doing okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got a that's the thing. And lucky, you know, luckily enough, I mean, of course, there's plenty of people out there that, and myself included, that where I definitely don't consider myself some fantastic critic, but there's plenty of people that are willing to do reviews, and but with print, you're going to be sending them out. You definitely have to know these people are you're not just going to send somebody a book and be like, okay, thanks, and you never hear back from them. But kind of luckily enough, I know people that do these things. But yeah, if you're paying somebody for a review, I mean, that's really absurd. I'm not run across that one myself.
Well,
so.
one of the things that hurts people's hearts the most, and I deal with this a lot in the ebook world, is that I tell people, listen, man, once you line up like 10 or 20 people that, you know, can really like try to review this book, and then you find out like 3 people do something. Everybody else is promising left and right. So it's not any different in print. So I tell this to every writer. Every writer gives me some enormous email about how everybody's committed to them and everybody's going to honor their word and everybody's loyal and this and that. And then 2 weeks later, they're like, I can't even reach them to get the thing done. So unfortunately, book reviewing is difficult because it's not the most exciting or fun thing. You really got to get somebody that's interested and wanting to give you a hand. They don't have to be, and don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you something that's not artistic. It's just the reality of the world. You don't have to get a book reviewer, even if it's friend or not, that has to love that genre, or even have to love your work. As long as they're willing to give you a decent foot forward, a couple of good paragraphs in there, that's all you need and go forward. So I don't really think that a book review is that of a difficult thing to do. You don't have to be that formal. This is not the New York Times. Most of the time, you're just putting in a couple of paragraphs, maybe like 2 paragraphs, into a little review site of Amazon or Books, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, or something like that, or Google, whatever. And that's all you're doing. So it's not like that terribly to do at all. And it's no different with a print book. When you're on the Amazon or something, it's not hard to put this on there. That's all you're doing. So it's not like that difficult to do, but you'd be shocked at how many people wind up not being very reliable. So I'm sorry to say that book reviewing is just much harder. I know people that sell more books than they get reviews. How crazy is that?
Yeah, that is absolute truth. You better have a that's another thing, of course, of knowing your readership and everything else, and knowing the people that are you know, it's always good to have a bunch of people lined up, so when the couple people that do kind of let you down, you're not completely just sitting out there in the, you know, kind of dead in the water, so to speak, with no reviews, because I know me personally, I know people that do this, and of course it does help that I also do them as well, so you know, that's another thing, and I do enjoy doing them. I probably move way too slow, but you know, I do on the doing reviews, I do quite a lot of them actually, and so yeah, it's you have to have them lined up because you will. It is hard getting them done. It is hard getting them. It's not easy.
Well, I guarantee you, it's got to be a much more expensive process for the print mm-hmm. version of it than me, because I could not under these numbers, you know, go around mm-hmm. sending out 20 books when I'm only going to get two people that are gonna be willing to do something. I mean, it's an enormous amount of money and time wasted.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing with that. You have to be 300% certain that they're going to do something, and that's not an easy thing these days. It really isn't.
No, it's not. I know in my case, I'm kind of lucky already knowing people that do this, and they've come through for me in the past that I can definitely, you know, if I send a book out, I know I can get it, you know, reviewed. It's not somebody just saying, oh, okay, yeah, and then you never hear from them.
It's not an easy thing, but it's important.
Yeah.
Folks, mm-hmm. it is important. It has two pieces of what I feel of segments of being important. The first thing is, you know, artistically, you want to have something like that because it really tells people that, you know, you have arrived. You know, that's important, mm-hmm. that someone else is saying something interesting about your book other than you and the publisher, okay? It don't mm-hmm. matter who that person is, as long as somebody else is saying something. Eventually you get a couple and you build from there. And, of course, there is, on the second point, there's a marketing point to all of this, you know? And I remind people, especially a lot of writers these days, don't want to get involved in marketing. I think we're going to have a marketing show next time. This would be interesting to come over some of the basic points about marketing, mm-hmm. some of the things you can do, some of the things you should be doing, you know, etc. But, folks, your first foot forward, your first foot in the water of marketing is securing a book review. That is mm-hmm. actually more important than anything else, okay? Because I'm telling you, putting an ad out there on social media, having 87,000 strangers put like on it doesn't mean anything. You probably won't even get 8 books sold that way. Any dummy can hit like, okay? My cat can hit like. And the cat can't read your book, but somehow the cat likes your book. How wonderful. So that's the kind of stuff you get out there. It's not useful and it's not worth anything, really. But every time you get somebody to review your book and they're willing to post it, when somebody else gets attracted to the title, someone gets hearing about the subject, or someone heard something from somebody else, when they go over to that book site, they see a couple people saying everything. I'm telling you, that often is enough to push them over the edge to buy the book. Wow, this person thinks this is cool. This, when it doesn't have any reviews, it just looks like, you know, it's just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you something, okay? Whether you have one review or 20 reviews, the person mm-hmm. who's new to your book, they don't know how many books are being sold. But they're figuring something is being sold, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have any book reviews, when you have a zero, the first thing they're going to say is, this dude's not even selling any books. Why the hell should I be adding myself to this? It doesn't mean it doesn't mean they know anything more, okay? The truth could be you have 50 books sold, but you don't have any reviews. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what?
Yeah.
The perception from that new reader coming over there, because he's not just a reader anymore, it's a possible consumer, and when he buys it, he is a consumer. Later on, he becomes a mm-hmm. reader, but at that moment, he's a consumer, you know? There's three things that they're going to be looking at. They're looking at, does this book cover look like it was made in the basement by three weirdos with a paint gun? Okay. Does does the book description make some sense to me? Or does it sound like, you know, I was at the Grateful Dead concert and I had 14 tabs of purple acid? Okay. And does it have a review or two? If you can give some people a plausible book description. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be Art Shakespeare. Just something that makes some sense. And a book cover that looks decent, okay? And you get a review or two up there, well, you're in business. People who stop by, they're more likely to buy the book. Because I'm sorry to say, they do judge a book by its cover. Don't listen to anybody saying mm-hmm. otherwise. No, that's a stupid cliche. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do buy it on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? In the ebook world, the book description makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
You can't write some nilly-willy, vague collection of poems and then give it some stupid book description and you wonder why nothing's selling.
Yeah.
Because once they leave the book cover, that was pretty decent, and they go to this book description, What the hell? Mm-hmm. A talking dog that's in Cambodia? It's going to be eaten by the villagers? What are you talking about? That they don't know what the hell you're talking about. It makes no sense. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it goes directly in line. So I would often tell people that the book description and the book cover are some of the first elements, okay, for marketing. But the truth of the matter is, for my publishing company, we do both. I'll do the book description and the cover myself for the person. So they don't have to worry about that. And it's going to look good and it's going to be fine. But the book review thing, I don't have a lot of hand in. I don't have a lot of sway in it. I don't go around talking to strangers. Yo, man, I just put this out. Can you do a review for this dude? You have to do that. So it's your first foray into learning about marketing, getting people on board, and getting something out there. Because when you get those reviews out there, I'm telling you, it's not even magic. It's just simply the human condition. People see that somebody else, they like this, they're more willing to buy a book. It's just that simple.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I was fortunate with mine that I had getting reviews, but it, you know, it's just like you said, you got to have those lined up, and they are very important and having those people. And luckily I kind of knew people that already had, done that. And it, you know, still, it's not easy. It's not easy for anybody, but you've got to have a good review does help. It helps a lot. It's a good thing to go in. It's a key essential. Likes don't mean, like you said, likes to me or, I'm not crazy about likes. I don't go insane over them. It's great that people make it hit a button, but actually having people say something good is really, really worth it to have that when people go look at your book and then they see these reviews and, you know, and another thing is get people to probably say, you know, like I had one that was like, I think, well, it was just three letters. You got to still have an actual review up there. It doesn't have to be the greatest review in the world. It doesn't have to be, you know.
And that's what you have to instruct 20... people when you're trying to recruit them in there. Remind them. You don't have to do some formal review like it's the New York Times or the New Yorker where you got a beginning, a middle, and end, and you're breaking down every little tiny thing. No.
Yeah.
At best, two big paragraphs. You know, at worst, maybe a couple sentences. This is what I liked about this, and this is an enjoyable read. I'm glad I bought the book. Something like that. But anything, because when it comes up to the person hitting where it says reviews and there's a couple of views over there, they're not really going to judge you about, well, the dude only wrote a sentence and a half. I don't know if I'm going to buy this book. Trust me, a sentence and a half will still get you a sale versus nothing.
Yeah. I was lucky on that, and you know, then again, that's why I know when I do reviews, that's why I try to just give a good synopsis of the book and put a good just something good that people can have up there and let people know what, you know, the overall, at least my overall experience reading the book was, and it's all you really have to do once you kind of get these things down. It's not really that difficult to write a decent review for someone. And it really does. And I'm always surprised at how grateful people are because it's like you said, it's not easy to get people to do this. So, you know, and I've done a few now. So it's good to, it's good to know how these things work.
Well, it is definitely the first big step in people learning something about marketing. Like I said, we'll do a show probably. We could probably do an entire show just on marketing, all the various things that you can do, you know, that helps in marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are actually, and people don't realize it, some of these things are not only free and inexpensive, but simple to do. I mean, tailoring the signature of your email, especially if you got a blog and you're talking about your writing in it, and then that email that goes with it, just tailoring it to, hey, don't forget I got this book out at this address, so don't forget to check me out over here, or whatever. That alone is critical, because when you're sending that email out to anybody that you're dealing with, and sometimes people, you'll use that email for personal stuff too, not just, you know, art stuff. It tells people when they get it, hey, well, I can hit this link and check this out. That's actually another piece of marketing, another interesting thing that can be done. So there's a lot of things we could share with people that they could be doing. But Like I said, it's difficult to get writers to get more involved in marketing. And it's another thing for me that I use as a criteria. I try to find the mature artist, and I try to find the one that hasn't had too many projects out. Partly because it makes it worth my time to help somebody that hasn't had anything out before. But another part of it is because there's a good statistical expectation from my end that they're going to want to work a little harder on their first book. They're going to want to try to market and do something real about it. Versus you're publishing somebody's 15th book, they might not give a crap anymore about it, you know, about doing any marketing. Because it's hard to get people to market in general. A lot of writers have a lot of qualms about that. But it's something they need to do if they're going to have a life in the 21st century of publishing, because that's not going to change.
And like you said, we can really literally do a whole show on marketing. Because it's there's a lot of things that people really need to know and need to have set in place, and the best people at this already know it's a beast unto itself, so to speak, when it comes to marketing and being good at it, and because it's a lot of trial and error, but
that's true. I mean, you're gonna do a lot of that stuff, but you know, if you think about it, all marketing is trial and error. I mean, you could laugh all day long about the 60-second spot on toothpaste on the TV, you know. Oh, they got the money. They go. It doesn't matter if they have the money or not. What you have to understand is that they got to hire a company. Mm-hmm. The company has to hire people to put this together, to write it. Then they got to shoot it. Then they got to pay for the TV spot from it. So, you know, the average commercial out there is over $1 million. And I don't care if you have $1 million or not. That's still $1 million risk.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually more of a risk if you're an established brand than if you're a new brand. Because if you're a new brand of something, you might actually get somebody to actually start checking it out just because it's something new, and you're showing it in front of people's faces. But imagine if you're an established brand and you're telling this marketing company, listen, man, my Bubba toothpaste, okay, it's got 45% of the marketing, but I like to try to pump that up to 50, man. What can you do? Well, I don't know. Give us $1 million. We'll do our best. It's a big risk. Mm-hmm. You might go up 46% to 47%, and maybe that's not your goal of 50, but that's great. You got your money back and more. Or, you know, a month later, after you're running this damn thing, you find out you still have 45%. So just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you're risking anything less or more than anybody else. And I think of it this way. $1 million, risking it, is no different than if someone's spending $100 to promote their book. To me, it's the same kind of risk. Just because the money isn't the same doesn't mean it's the same kind of risk. You're making a risk to try to promote something to go further. So people have to do that. But I think the problem is not marketing itself. I think the problem with writers is that they get so caught up in the art that they forget that they also have to be a bit of a businessman. They have to be a bit of an agent. They have to be a bit of a, you know, a word slinger out there, you know, and sometimes they don't want to do that. Sometimes they just don't feel that that's their role, you know, and that's part of the show. They'll just remind people that that is part of your role, whether you like it or not. You better start learning how to do it. No one says you have to like it. I do marketing all the time. Most of the times I don't like it. I just know it has to be done. To me, it's like laundry. I don't like doing laundry either. You know, picking up my kids' dirty soccer clothes. It was white 5 minutes ago. Now it's black. I mean, that's so much fun. But it has to get done. Otherwise, they don't get anything clean to wear. So marketing, just like laundry, has got to be part of who we are, because it's one of those tasks in life that we don't like to do, but we have to do.
Yeah, it's key, and it's better if you don't dread it, you know, you don't think a second about breathing, but it just becomes part of what you do, you know, and with writing nowadays, because the marketing, and we've talked about that too. You know, it's a key. You have to have it. I enjoy it, but I'm kind of weird. But
yeah, a lot of people don't.
I on the other hand do, and I've always been fascinated with it. So it does help, you know, if you enjoy it, and if you don't sit there and dread it. But to me, there's so many avenues now that you really can do things and do them really, really awesome.
A lot of
people will help you.
It's just a matter of the, you know? It's really a matter of the person's attitude. I mean, I preach it a lot, but you wouldn't believe how much bad feedback I get from people. I don't like this. And I'm like, listen, man, I'm not your I'm not your father, okay? I'm not telling you you need to like it. I'm just telling you that you need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, be happy with the 14 copies you sold and then move on to your next project. It's up to what you want. Mm-hmm. You want something more? Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. You have to do something more. This is a free society. No one's going to pick up the book and suddenly buy it just because it's out there. There's so much stuff out there. You gotta stand ahead of the crowd, or you gotta be able to cut your own little, you know, rug, a little mark in the rug there. You have to be able to do something if you want to get noticed. And so no one says you have to like it. It's just something that you have to do. You know, it's a hard message to talk about. Sometimes I don't even want to talk about it myself, just because it's like, oh God, I got to talk about something like this, and I know that most of these people are either going to turn it off, don't care, or they have 100,000 excuses. I can't do this, I can't do that. You know, so we'll have a marketing show. We need to have one anyway, just to kind of get it out there. But I can promise you something, because both of us have some experience in this subject. Most of the stuff that we're going to be talking about are things that you can do. I'm not even tech savvy, and I can put ads out. Come on, people. You know? So if I could do this show and I barely know what a microphone is, then, you know, you'll be okay. And most of it is inexpensive. Yeah. We're not talking about lots of money or anything like that. And if you start learning to do it on a regular basis, even if you got to hold your nose, and that's fine, you know, you'll have benefit from it. You'll have real benefit.
You will. It's all trial and error, and don't be scared to just try or even ask people, because I know a lot of people will help you out. And it's nothing to fear. It's embrace it. That's what I do. I'm lucky enough that I work with a lot of people that know these things. So that's why I don't mind going out and trying to start things on my own and do things, because I mean, you know, why not?
But there's so many things that people can do that are free. I mean, a perfect example is, and this guy, he was asking me about this, and he goes, oh yeah, that's right. Every time, once you get a book published, you're going to have a link. It's going to either link to the site that has the book, or maybe the master site that has different places where the book is out, but you're going to have a link nevertheless, okay? All you have to do is, when you're getting your poems published out there, or you're getting your fiction published out there or whatever, is just make sure that in your little bio that you're giving them has, hey, my latest book is here, and it's available at this link. Right there, free advertising. Someone's publishing a poem or story of yours, and that's going to be in there for a while, and guess what? Now people have a link if they want to go check out. They like that poem, they might like the book too. These are things that you could do. It don't take anything to put that into a small bio, and it takes no effort at all to go send that off to somebody, and it's completely free. So there's a lot of things that people can do that are considered marketing that's not that difficult to do, that's free to do, and in many ways, it don't even feel like marketing. You have to give the damn bio anyway. Just throw the link in there with it.
Yeah.
That's true. Marketing. Just basic marketing. That's what it is. So don't make marketing some big science or something. It's not.
No. It's not. Don't be intimidated by any of this
ways
stuff.
Ways to get the word out about your project. Ways to get the word out about your project. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Now, it's not intimidating. It's like I said, my thing is, I'm just kind of weird and I enjoy all this, but it's nothing to, it's something to embrace. It's really not that hard. It's not that difficult. And if you want to do this, you have to be willing to kind of do that. If you want to make anything of it, you have to.
That's the truth. So we keep telling people about that. That's all we can do. And then we eventually move on to other stuff. Because I already have a show called The Future of Writing that I put out there. And I made it really clear and really blunt that the future of writing is marketing. And in the future, the separation between the people who have succeeded and the people who have failed, it's all going to be about who marketed and who didn't. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Some of those people who succeeded, you're going to find out they didn't write the best books. They didn't have the most interesting ideas. But their books still did well. Why? Because they marketed. Just that simple.
Yeah, that's true. Some people are just better at that hustle. That's a thing. But, you know, on that subject that we're speaking on, and I would say that this is one thing I would like to know. What, in your opinion, what really does it take to write a good review and be a good critic? What do you think there, Mark?
Well, I put it this way: it doesn't matter if it's an ebook that they're buying or the print book. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In the end,
mm-hmm.
people are doing more than hitting like. They're mm-hmm. actually having to spend money that they could have put into a meal mm-hmm. or they could have put into a music song or maybe even the movie. They're mm-hmm. buying your project. So for them mm-hmm. to be wanting to pay for that, they want to hear back from somebody mm-hmm. who's read it that's telling them something that's worthwhile. You know, I like this book because it was very honest about its feelings. And I know I've had some mm-hmm. similar situations myself, and I like to be able to see that other people have had the same. Or I like this book because it was uplifting and positive in a world that can often be dark and confusing. Or I liked this book because it had really, really great moments of humor where I was able to really laugh when I don't get a chance to do that as much as I like. If people can feel in the review that a connection was made, and that it was honest, it was something that it was authentic, they're going to feel that the money they put into it then is worth it. Versus if this sounds like some artistic, you know, throwaway thing, yeah, this dude can really rhyme and his scheme is amazing and oh my lord, I mean, people can't really relate to that. So I think that a book can be artistic, but the book review has to be very human and very like consumer oriented. That I'm buying this and it's worth my money.
Yeah, that's how I kind of always go about. Of course, like I said, I'm not considering myself a critic, but I've done definitely enough of these now that you know I try to you know you have to accentuate the positives, and I'm not about being negative. So I generally you know I review things that I really enjoy, and I can it's easy to the review kind of it does really write itself, especially when you really dig what you're you know reading and of course and again writing about it.
Well, so, I had the last couple of authors and some of my later books on the publishing. We were able to add things that we wasn't able to do before because we just didn't think about it, and we're like, oh yeah, who says we can't do an introduction? Or an interview in the back, or some other extra artwork or something to make the book even more valuable. Because by doing that, you're also giving an anchor over to that reviewer. And you can even tell the author, listen, don't forget to remind your friends and family or people that you know that are reviewing the book. You got an interview in the back. You got a cool introduction. You got like 20 pieces of different art that they wouldn't get in a print version. So there's a lot of extra things that they're getting for the money. Just by saying that, it's giving value to the person reading it going, oh, man, I'm getting more than just 50 poems. I'm getting this and I'm getting that. This is really worth it. Mm-hmm. And that's another way, too, to give some value. And that really worked out. And I like that because I had a friend of mine. He put together his own press, this ebook as well. Mm-hmm. And he put out his first book. And it was a book about this kid, Hugh Cook. And he roamed around the world. And it helped him become a more mature person than he was before he left. And the poems were really, really good. And they really, really connect to all of that he's talking about. But, you know, when when I did a review of it, and it was just a review before the book was published, the publisher asked me to check it out. He's like, well, what do you think? I go, I think it's great, but this is such a unique type of book that the author should put an introduction in there, in the book, and make sure it's included. Because the reader might need a little bit of explanation about how these poems fit into what he learned and where he went and all that. And that worked out really well. The kid's book is selling pretty decent. He was able to even put an interview in the back of it and some cool art. And, you know, it worked out really nice. So there's a lot you can do, you know. But in the end, really, the review has to establish a personal connection and it has to show in some way, even if it's a subtle way, that it's going to be worth the money that someone's spending on it.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're not in a bookstore where they're perusing it saying no or yes. They're not getting to do that.
Yeah.
You might get a sample chapter or two from Amazon, and then you might get something from the book description possibly, but that's it. That's all they have to go on. So in many ways, another source of information about the book that you're trying to sell is what the reviewer can say.
Yeah, that's a bit. Those reviews are key, and having somebody, and that's why when you have a good review, it does really help, and especially from writers that you also respect and that people know, that's another thing that really helps. They're like, well, if this guy thinks that, then yeah, because I mean, it's once again, it comes down to helping one another too.
It makes a big difference, and it really does.
Yeah, I've been really fortunate with that, of course, and so yeah, it does, and that's why I'm always trying to do reviews, even though I, like I said, I think people are waiting for me. They probably get very frustrated, but I do give 100% to a review when I do decide to, sit down and go ahead and hammer one out. I've become more comfortable with them now, so once it helps, because the first one I ever did, really, I think. Yeah, I mean, I had started the Booze Hound, of course, and to do just strict reviews for books, and that was probably really nerve wracking. And then, the more you do, the more comfortable you get. Now I'm pretty, satisfied that I can usually hammer out a review and get it done and do it pretty damn. Get it done pretty well, because it's not the New York Times, like you said.
No, you don't have to go that far. In fact, it's probably not a good idea to go that far because, in the end, the books that we're putting out, they tend to be a shorter project than most longer books. So you don't really need a long review for a book. I mean, if your review is longer than the book, you got a problem, So you want to keep it short just because it practically makes sense, People only have so much time, particularly if they're buying something off the internet, so you don't want to, keep them there forever. Just get your point across and what you liked and blah, 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 and go from there. Well, folks, I wanted to add another element to the show that we're hoping to put into different things as we move forward. So I wanted to do something where, I read a poem from someone that's contributed to my journal aerial chart, and it's going to get published in April. So I thought it'd be fun to read it to sort of conclude the show, and we're going to try to do a little different things now and then, in the show as we go on ahead. All right. We're always trying to think of doing something interesting. All right. This is from an English poet, meaning he's from England, John Smallshaw. Mm. And he gave me a poem called Strange Tales that I'm going to publish in the Aerial Chart in April. And it's very short, but I liked it. It's cool and cute and deep at the same time, which is great. Because when you have a short poem, you better be deep, you better be interesting or funny, because you got to have something for a poem this short. All right, here we go. Strange Tales by John Smallshaw. Oddly enough, she leveled with me, saying, "What you get is more than what you see." So I put on my glasses just in case, and in time to see to look on her face. And even then, quite oddly, she looked more godly than goddess. So I like that. It's an interesting slant on a woman and on attraction and maybe even just on respect. I mean, I don't want to get too deep into the poem, but it definitely tells us about a man in the sense that sometimes the first feeling you get from a girl that you might be interested in is just the allure of maybe how she looks or how she presents herself or even how she acts more than, more than the actual word of respect. I mean, I know women ask for that in a relationship, but the funny thing is when that you first ignite yourself with a woman, respect is not really coming into that. I never heard a guy, I don't care how gentlemanly he was, say, I'm going to go out with that girl next week because I really respect her. No one uses that word. That comes later. You're usually going out for her because, wow, she was interesting. Wow, she was funny. Wow, she's cute. Wow, I like her hair. Wow, she has shoes that are sensible. Something. But no one's saying respect. Not because they don't have any respect. It's just that it's not an intellectual word that you get used with a woman right away. You just don't. So I like how he did that. It was very honest in the poem that way. But he did it in a classy way. In a real tasteful way, and God bless him. That's pretty cool. I like that. And he's an older guy too, so it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, Yeah, I really dig those rights that are really, when you kind of use that economy of words, when you have just a small space, you can have, especially, like I know I do humor, and it's you can really pack a punch, and you can also make a really interesting, you know, statement, and that's really done well.
So it's something we want to try to do, guys, going forward, folks, is, you know, we'll try to bring on a poem now and then. We'll read, maybe talk about it a little bit. It'd be kind of fun, just the different angles. Now, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm an editor or a poet himself or a broadcaster. Mm. It doesn't matter. In the end, when I'm reading the poem, I am a reader, which means that I could get an impression completely different than what he intended. He could email me later on, you know, when the show comes out. Mark, you know, I was actually trying to shoot for this direction. Well, that's cool, John. God bless you. But that's the direction I found, so I'm talking about that. Oh, well. That's how all readers do that throughout the world. You're just having the benefit of all the rest of us listening to it. That's all. But I don't really think I'm too far off from what he was saying. But you never know. But that's the beauty of writing. And sometimes it could have different meanings and different levels of meanings that it was never intended. And it comes out because that's the beauty of putting words together. All right.
Yeah.
Let me give you guys a quick recap before we conclude this show. A little longer than usual, but I'm happy because it was something fun and positive and upbeating. Rather than having to smack down some strange people out there, okay? We talked a little bit about operating and running a press and some of the work involved in it, some of the expectations that we would hope we have from the writers that we bring on board. We talked about book reviews, how extremely important they are, and helping to sell your book and how you want to use them and help recruit people, especially early on as much as you can, because they really are critical, especially when a lot of book sales these days are not done in the bookstore anymore. They're done online. People are in their bathtub, you know, naked with a Kindle in their hand. They're going to hit a button and not a buy it. I mean, literally, just because of your description and your cover and if someone did a review for you, okay? It's not a magical thing, folks, that the more reviews you get, the more chances you're going to have of selling the book. It's just that simple. All right, we read a cool poem from John Shawshore, Strange Things. I really like that. And hold on, what's that one? Strange Tales. Sorry about that. I don't know why I keep saying Strange Things.
Okay.
Yeah, Strange Tales. And it was really interesting. We talked a little bit about that. Yeah, no, oops. Sorry about that, John. But I wanted to do something new. Hey, you get the first cool poem that we did independently narrating here. Because normally when poems are read on the show, it's by somebody in an interview. So that's a little different for you. I'm hoping to have that guy on the show one of these days, actually. So, you know, but it's another one of those England things, 6-7 hours, you know, kind of throw dice in the air.
Yeah.
You know, put a pin in a doll and
Mark
all that.
Set up.
But we'll do it. I'm sure. I'm sure we'll do it. I already did a couple in England, and I'm expecting to do some more as we move on ahead. All right. Do you have any other final thoughts there, John?
No, just keep an eye out for I'm going to give a little self plug. In fact, I don't know why I didn't think about I'm a little brain dead today, but for Whiskey City Press, we're with the first book by yours truly coming out. Once didn't think about that because these shows do air a little bit differently. Be on the lookout for that book coming out, and other projects, of course, one that I have with Soma going to be coming out later on down the road too.
Yep,
so
no doubt about it. So I've got Whiskey City Press over there. I got Soma Publishing .com as well as the Aerial Chart, the literary magazine. We'll be having the April edition out here in about a week or so. So I'm definitely definitely looking forward to that and to everything else, folks. Keep listening like you've been doing. I appreciate support. We're well past anything the network ever did. But then, you know, they thought I was going to be in the basement, but no, I'm on the roof. Okay, haha. So just like I expected, because this is not a show that's out there. It's something different. There's a real support for it because we got writers that have questions, people are interested, and we try to keep it real and as interesting as possible. And I'm happy we've added 35 countries now onto the show that have people listening from all over the world, literally. And I'm expecting another great month in April, folks. We have another classic spotlight, this time with Aldous Huxley, talking about Brave New World and some of the things about his life. There's a lot of things about Aldous Huxley that people are not aware of, even people who read his books. So it's going to be a fairly fascinating episode to listen to. Poe, you only can really get so much new stuff because so much stuff has been out of him. and he's been dead like over 150 years, where, you know, Aldous Huxley has only been dead for 55 years, so not as long as all. So there's a lot of stuff people not aware about him at all. So it's going to be interesting. It's also going to be artistic. It's going to be fun. I mean, guess what? There even is some real scandal that we're going to talk about on the show about Aldous Huxley. There's some scandal with this guy. I know, it's amazing. Far different than anything Aldous Huxley, because Poe was a real, real straight up kind of a stiff character. Huxley was not. I mean, he was a bit of a freak. So we're going to have some fun with this guy. And it's all classy, nothing weird or crazy, but you're going to be surprised and go like, what? So it's going to be interesting, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a little longer of a show than the Poe one, because there's a lot more to go over. People forget that even though Poe lived 40 years, and that's considered a long time in the 1800s, he didn't have an enormous amount of stuff written, where Huxley had a gigantic amount of stuff written. So there's a lot of stuff to really... We're not going to be able to go through all his entire life of writing, but we'll be able to go through a lot of it. It's incredibly more diverse than Poe ever was, just because of, you know, who he was and, you know, and the time he wrote in. And, of course, he also lived a lot longer, too. He lived 23 years longer. So, yeah, that's a whole lot more writing time, you know. But interesting guy, yeah. And we're going to have a lot of fun with that, as well as a lot of good standalone shows. Got a couple of interviews that are coming up, you know, and... We got this show coming up in the first part of April, this guest house, and then I really think that the second portion of it later in April, we'd like to just do a show about marketing. We'll just put all our thoughts down of all the cool things that you could do for free, all the things you could do interesting to make marketing a habit that you might want to include in your whole writing career, and do your and do your best at it rather than trying to stay away from it. We're trying to make it that it's not so difficult, okay? All right, thank you very much, folks, for being on there. John, thank you as always again for helping co-host this show. Can't do it without you. God bless, folks, and until next time, thank you.
Yep, have a good one.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.